there, Cornerstone teammates. This is Beck, and I want to welcome you to our worship podcast, where we're studying the art and the heart of worship. We want to build you up, deepen your understanding, support you, and encourage you to get out there and do what God's called you to do. So let's get started.
So what is worship? So John Piper defines it this way. He says, true worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. C.S. Lewis defines it this way. Worship means respectful devotion, loving, honoring, and obeying someone who deserves our highest regard. Worshiping God means acknowledging and celebrating His power and perfection in gratitude. And worship includes understanding and awe of God's holiness, and we remember how great He is and behave reverently in His presence. The Gospel Coalition defines worship this way. Worship is the response of the whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, to beholding God's glory. It is enabled by the Holy Spirit. There's no worship apart from spiritual regeneration. It is fixated on gospel truth. We behold God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. It is directed by God's self-revealing word. We don't intuitively figure out what pleases God. It involves personal and corporate expressions. We worship in all of life as well as in church gatherings. Human beings are hardwired for worship. Thus, worship of someone or something is inevitable. But the worship that pleases God, worship that proceeds from a heart that sees and loves Him, is only possible that by the saving work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus defines worship as this. In John 8, He says, "Believe me," Jesus replied, "a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as these to worship Him. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So let's revisit the question. What does worship mean to me? Is it an individual experience, or is it enhanced by fellow believers? Where should I seek God? Does it begin in private? As stated in Matthew, when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Is it required of us to gather? As mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14, it states, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Knowing God is best accomplished through both individual and corporate worship. Our topic this month is that we sing in worship to represent both our individual relationship with God as well as the corporate relationship that the church has with God. Biblical worship is at the same time both personal and corporate. When we sing during worship, we express our personal feelings. Personal worship is indispensable. It grows our personal relationship with the Lord. Personal time of worship and prayer is an essential component of Christian spirituality. Jesus spent nights praying alone. He taught that we should pray in secret. However, corporate worship is also essential as we are all members of one body, the church. Corporate worship facilitates that idea that we are one body centered around Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, Paul reminds the church to not neglect meeting together for corporate worship so that we might provide encouragement to one another. Corporate worship shows the diversity of the church. Corporate worship involves a group of people coming together to engage in religious rituals such as prayer, singing hymns, following liturgy, and listening to sermons or teachings. In a corporate worship setting, individuals unite to express their faith and devotion collectively. This practice is considered significant in many religions as it reinforces a sense of community and strengthens religious beliefs and values. So there is a connection between individual private worship and corporate gathered worship. One cannot exist without the other. If there is no individual worship, what is there to worship with others about then? If there is no corporate worship, individual worship can go off the rails into whatever the individual desires to worship. Hey, this is Jeff. I am a vocalist, worship pastor, and a friend of Laramie Street.
Hey, this is John. I play the keys, sometimes sing, and I'm also the music coordinator.
I'm Laramie Street. I'm a friend of Jeff Graves. I am the creative director at Cornerstone, and then I also play bass. Violin is my first instrument, and I sometimes sing. And then I love all things tech. So running sound, running lights, cameras pro, all of it.
My name is Noreen. I do vocals. I'm soon to be doing acoustic. I run in the tech. I do sound and broadcast. And sometimes I sub for pro when Beck needs my help. And I am your worship coordinator.
So yeah, so let's just kind of react to the comments about individual worship. The connection between individual private worship and corporate gathered worship, how they really can't exist without the other. Our individual worship feeds into what we are corporately worshiping, and we need corporate worship to keep our private worship focused in the right direction.
I think one of the first things I was, while you were talking, I was trying to think of other things that are individual and corporate. Like, I was like, what are other things that I experienced individually and corporately? And I was like, well, eating. Like, I have to eat. I eat by myself, but I also eat with others. But then I thought about my dad, actually, because I thought about I can spend one-on-one time with my dad, and I have a good relationship with my dad. I love my dad a lot, actually. And so I can spend one-on-one time with him. But whenever, like, we go to Thanksgiving and I see him interacting with my grandma and my grandpa and his sister, my aunt, I experience him so differently when I'm there. Like, you know, like, and so I thought about that in this, like, individual versus corporate of, like, the way that I experience God one-on-one. Like, I have my relationship with him. I feel like he sees me in a way that no one else does. And I feel like he talks to me in a way that's very specific to us. But then, like, when we're in the body, like, we're with other people, we, like, see him talking to other people in ways that we don't see it with us at all. And it, like, gives me a fuller picture of him. So that's kind of what I was thinking about.
I think corporate can definitely feed into individual, and that gives you kind of the language and kind of almost able to practice your actions for individual worship in corporate.
Like what? Give me an example.
Really throwing them under the bus.
No, I'm just like,
So for example, maybe we do a song of confession in church, and it kind of gives us the language and the structure for which to do our personal confession in our individual worship time.
Yeah, okay.
I think for me, the first thought that it came to mind was about, like, just wanting community in some way. I grew up in public school, so I kind of was used to just meeting people that were all, like, Catholic around me. My area is very, very Catholic. And they all knew each other. They all went to church together. They came into school for the first time. Like, we combined elementaries into one middle school, and people knew each other, even though I had never seen any of them on that side before. And so I think that alone, as much as I wanted to tell myself I was okay with being alone, at the same time, I wanted to find people that were like me, and I wanted to find people that I could relate to and talk to. And that just, even in my past churches, I had a hard time finding. Mm-hmm. So
I find it interesting. I want to kind of jump off what John said, that the corporate gathering can speak into and guide our individual worship. And maybe we think of times on the flip side of that, where we have just had, you know, maybe we're up in a mountain or down by the beach, and we've had a huge meeting with God. You know, individual worship is just off the charts. Either there's his majesty or his strength or something comes through. We can't keep that to ourselves. So I think that's another part of the individual is like, man, God was so good. I'm just going to keep that here. But normally you want to get together and it's like, you can't wait to tell someone. And that's what, I mean, my prayer is that that is what's happening Sunday mornings or whenever we have corporate is people are all kind of rushing back in to say, this is what God did this week. What did he do for you? Let's all declare how awesome he is, you know, and it changes kind of even what the Sunday morning can be like. I know when I was growing up, Sunday morning was like, all right, there's going to be a 30 to 45 minute sermon and my dad is going to lead some songs beforehand, which is kind of like for all the latecomers to get their seats. So they're ready for the pastor to do his thing. And I think church, capital C, has undergone a very positive change in that there's not like, well, this is preparatory for that. It's all together. And I think that's part of what our individuality bringing into that worship, what we've experienced.
And I think on the flip side too, maybe you're not coming down off a mountaintop, but maybe you're coming down out of the valley. I'm in a position in my life, maybe I'm going through an illness or a stressful time in life, and I'm just not feeling God's presence right now. But I'm able to go in, and the other people that are part of that corporate body are able to lift me up and say, you know what? God is still awesome. Maybe you're not feeling it right now, but he's there. And maybe you're not able to sing those words with us right now, but we got you and we can lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or even like, I don't know if you say this in front of everybody, but like, I'm a big doubter. I always have been. So like, edit this
out. Cut that out.
I'm a big doubter. So like, there have been many times in my life that I have been like, is this whole thing even real? Like, I have asked that question and I have been taught that like, we are allowed to ask that question. Like, you know, like God is able to handle me being like, is this all just like fake? And the nice thing about churches is that I feel like you just cannot deny God's work within other people, and you cannot deny it when you see them singing to him the way that some people do. Like, it's not just like fun and Christian karaoke. Like, some people, like, this is them pouring their devotion out to someone who is actively working in their life. And so for a closeted doubter, it's very helpful for me whenever I'm in that spot of being like, I just, you know, like, what if I'm wasting my life? Which is like the C.S. Lewis thing about like, what if you aren't? Like, that whole C.S. Lewis thing, to go into a church and to see other people worshiping, you know, is like, yep, this is real. Yeah, this is like a real thing. Like, this is like, people are devoting their life to this guy. So,
I'm thinking about how when you're on the actual band, you feel like you're a part of something. Mm-hmm. You are in one group. You are all working towards something to be able to teach the congregation. And at the same time, when you're in the congregation and you're just singing with other people, even though you're not like directly, clearly singing with them, you are singing out to God in one space. And that, like, you are still a part of the entire worship, just even if you're singing individualized. And just how it, when you're a part of the team and when you're a part of the entire worship, that feels very different than being at home and just listening to worship.
Yeah.
That is a very different thing. And just hearing the collection of voices around you. And like, even if you're just like sitting in the cafe on a Sunday morning after like you finish worship and you're like listening to the sermon, even just like sitting and not sitting inside the room kind of makes you feel a little bit more individualized than being in a collective. So like when you see other people like taking notes during the sermon and knowing that you are with people, I like to think that the entirety of like worship and the sermon are all a collective experience of worship. It's not separated worship versus sermon. It's all one entire thing.
Another aspect of individual and community that I want to talk about is when we look at the kind of community worship that is exalted in the Bible, it emphasizes people coming together and contributing whatever they have, regardless of who they are. 1 Corinthians 14 highlights the importance of order in community worship and poses the question, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction or a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Corporate worship is a time for God's people to express their love for God and each other through their spiritual gifts. It's interesting that God first informed the Corinthians about the proper spiritual conduct for the Lord's Supper in chapter 11, then the proper use of spiritual gifts in chapter 12, then the proper use of spiritual love in chapter 13, and then the proper use of spiritual worship in chapter 14. Corporate worship is a gathering of many different individuals, each bringing something to the service. Just as we say in communion with the bread and the cup, it is individual, but it is corporate. Think of what corporate worship would look like without individuality. There would be no harmonies in the music. There would be no need for teaching since we're all the same. It would be very robotic and vanilla. But God has made us individuals and unique, each with our own personalities, abilities, and spiritual gifts. Worship that is made up of individuals who worship in private and bring their uniqueness into the corporate setting is an exciting, emotional, growing worship time. So how do you react to this view of individual and corporate worship? And then how can we as lead worshipers and techies help people to understand and experience this?
Yeah, going back into 1 Corinthians 12, I think he says somewhere, if every instrumentalist were a guitarist, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So he grants us all each our individual gifts and our each individual experience that we can then bring into the sanctuary for corporate worship. And I think there's something very powerful about that.
Mm-hmm. I love this part of it. I love it. When I was younger, I didn't. I think when I was younger, I was like, I can do it all. Like I can run sound and I can run this and I can do this and I can program lights. I recently went to a conference and one of the guys that was speaking there had said that he has learned as he's gotten older that on the pie chart of what he can do, like what God has actually called him to do, that the sliver of his gifting gets smaller and smaller and smaller every year. That like as he gets older, his gifting gets tinier and tinier and tinier, and it's actually like so specific whenever he's actually operating within his gifting. And that has made me think a lot about like that mentality of like, I can do it all. Like I can lead in this way and I can do this and I can speak and I can this. And it's really like made me put my brakes on a lot and be like, actually, what if mine is like a tiny little splinter, like of what God has actually fully, truly gifted me in. And that's okay. When you have a church full of people that, like when you have that vast breadth of people who have all their different things to complete the pie chart, mm-hmm. and you're empowering them to do so and you're allowing them to put their piece in, then it's okay to have that very small gifting, mm-hmm. you know? So I think I'm actually not very gifted. I think there's like one thing I'm really good at. That's okay. Like, mm-hmm. It's good.
I'm thinking about how on our team, everybody's got something that they're definitely like, I could do that. Especially when it comes to even just like our talking moments, like our speaking moments. There are some people that some of us don't want to talk. I am included. I don't want to do call to worship sometimes.
Noreen has to do it this week. So she's on the schedule.
But it's some of us have a lot of anxiety when it comes to doing those things. And at the same time, some of us do it so naturally. And even with both of those things, every person has something specific that they can talk about that is occurring in their life, but also just what they know best. I often will like, not to say repeat things whenever I'm on, but I come back to points that I always live by. So like that, no matter what God, like, even if he's not giving you an answer, the yes, no, or maybe is something that I stick by. And it often comes up in my call to worships. And that's what I tend to talk about. But there are other things that other people will have through their experiences that they will bring up because that's part of their life.
Yeah. There was one time I heard a speaker. It was Christine Kane. It was the first time I had ever heard her. And a lot of people, I guess, know her for better or for worse. But recently I heard her for the first time. And I loved her talk. Like what she talked about, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. And then I was talking to some other ladies and they were like, it's the same thing every single time. Like this is the thing that she changed. Like sometimes she'll change the way she talks about it, but she talks about the same time thing every time. And I was like, well, yeah, because that's like, this is what she knows. Like this is like the way that God works in her life and she knows it. And she's not she's not trying to reach outside of this space and be like, I experienced God to be this. She's like, no, this is what I know. This is what God has revealed to me time and time again. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, I think that we fall into a trap of feeling like we do have to have every single color in our crayon box. Like, I think we just fall into this trap of being like, I have to know every single piece of who God is, and I have to experience him as a healer, and I have to experience him as someone who speaks audibly to me, and I have to experience him, you know, as someone in this way. And I'm like, maybe it's okay. I don't know, Pastor Jeff, you tell me right now. Maybe it's okay if I know him the way I know him right now until he reveals himself further to me. And if I stay in that circle, and this is what I know about him, I know he is this, you know? I'm not saying I don't want to know him fully. I do.
Now, I think he's wanting to know, wanting, again, this is just my thoughts through that, is he will reveal to you what he's desiring you to know. And until he does, he's wanting you to know the depth of what he has revealed.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, I know he's majestic. It was like, but what about that majesty? And I'm always stuck on majesty. That's a huge one for me. And then he reveals something. To me, it was like the, we were talking at some point about the lantern. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And it reveals what he needs you to see. It doesn't show you the end of the road, but it shows you what you need right then and there.
Yeah.
I like that.
I had a pastor who said that when dealing with sins, you know, like he was like, when you come to know the Lord and you are like, I'm a sinner. Like you have like that moment where you're like, oh no. And then you're like, and I have these 40 sins, that it can feel very overwhelming, like in that moment. And then, but that he had said that like God will address them almost one at a time. Like he'll be like, let's deal with this. And for other believers to look in at someone and be like, you know that you have a pride issue. And it's like, God may not be dealing with them right now on that thing. He wants to completely eradicate the sin that's there. And when that's gone, then he'll be like, hey, you got a real big pride issue right now.
Now we're going to work on this.
Yeah, we're going to work on this. Like, to like completely get down to the root of things and then pull it out fully before being like, all right, you giant sinners, grovel. Yeah.
So I think I revealed last time. This may have been off mic last time afterwards, but I was in a gospel quartet down in Texas.
I love this.
The first tenor.
I love this for you.
First tenor. And, you know, a quartet, you need four parts. So you need the individuality at that point. So then I'm thinking, all right, so now I'm looking at our band. We need each of those different voices. We need each of the instrumentalists. But even in that, the way Eric plays electric versus the way Justin does. Tim versus Jerry. Gregory, not versus, I don't mean versus, but Gregory and myself, how we will sing those notes differently. And I think, so there's not only the difference this way, but there's variations in those differences. It's funny. And then even more than that, I was thinking last night, Mary and I were trying to find something to watch. So we finally, I saw something, it was like about the Brat Pack. And so I said, oh, let's watch this. And Mary's like, well, who's the Brat Pack? I said, any of the movies from the mid 80s, I said, you know, like The Breakfast Club. She goes, I never saw that. I'm like, candles. What? So we immediately put on Breakfast Club right then. And I said, all right, this is going to go late. So maybe we won't finish it tonight. But the even in that, how all the people in that room, I'm assuming everyone has seen it. If not, turn it on right now. They are so different coming in and like in opposition to each other different. But their time together brings them closer together. You know, and so even on a Sunday morning, we can be in opposition with someone. I don't know if that might be too strong a word, but we may have an issue with someone or just say, I don't know how I can. They're not like me. So how do we work together? Maybe that's an easier way to say it. But God says, let's give it a little time. Let's worship together and you'll see how I'm going to fit all this together.
And I think even beyond that, with corporate worship, it transcends space and time. So we're not only worshiping with the people in the MMC at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, but for example, I was just looking at a couple weeks ago, we sang the song, Be Thou My Vision. Any idea when it was written?
17 something, right?
700
oh,
AD.
So,
oh, I didn't mean that one in front there.
1700 years ago. So,
see, 1700 that's was. All right.
So we're singing the lyrics, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, all else be naught to be save that thou art." We're singing that not only with the people here at 495 Wyckoff Ave, we're singing it across the country. We're singing it across time with people who lived centuries earlier. Mm-hmm. And there's just something amazing and miraculous about that.
Yeah. When you were talking about like Gregory versus you, like, you know, like, and you said like versus is not like the right word.
Right.
But I think sometimes about how like, so we have like commonly four vocalists sitting on the front of that stage, you know, standing on the front of that stage. And there's only so many harmonies, like, you know, like there's only so many. One person is going to lead and then people are going to find harmonies. And I think sometimes about like, yes, it is important to find the right harmony. It's important to own the harmony and to sing the harmony. But at the same time, the presence of each one of those vocalists, I think, is also so equally important. Mm-hmm. You know, like the way that you, Jeff, worship versus the way that I worship, I think both of those are so helpful. Like you are a very like cheery presence when you worship. Like you are like eyes open, like smile on, like you are like joy in worship, you know. I close eyes. I close my eyes. I look down a lot. I do a lot of finger gunning. Like I'm a very finger I'm a finger gunning person. I'm a big like point to God person. And I think people are able to like they learn, like you had said earlier, they're learning language for their personal time. They're learning motion for their personal time too. Mm-hmm. I think it gives them freedom to express the way that they express. You know, like some people are more conservative worshipers, and I think it gives people freedom to be conservative worshipers. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that is important, like regardless of find the harmony. I'm like, no. Like you're here because you're gonna lead a song and you lead in a very specific way. But other than that lead, like just you worshiping and like being in worship is so beneficial to everyone else in the room. So I kind of think about that too, of like your presence on stage is important. Not that you have to have a good presence. I'm not saying that. Like that you're up there, I think is valuable.
Yeah.
For the whole.
I was having the exact same thoughts while Jeff was talking about that. And the person that specifically came to my mind is Nicole, and how she is just so good at teaching how to posture yourself physically. I think about when we do the worship nights and she will close us out with a prayer and say like, oh, like it's like you can get on your knees. Like it is okay to do that. And like to close your eyes or to keep your eyes open or to like look towards the Lord. Those things are all okay to do.
Yeah. There are people out in the congregation that have taught me postures of worship when I'm on the stage looking out at them. There's a lady, I don't know her name. I know exactly where she sits. 1045. I know exactly where she sits. And she has taught me postures of worship. Jared, he said, there's a story that Jared tells where he was, when he was young and learning about worship in his church, there'd be this very old lady who, when she worshiped, she would cup her hands together and she would lift them up. Like, and that's how she worshiped, with her hands cupped together and lifted up. And like, and he said that it would like, at first he thought it was weird. And as he got older, he was like, what a precious thing to be like, please give me my portion, Lord. Mm. Like it was just her way of being like, right here, this is all I need. Just this small portion from you. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, we're learning from each other and we don't have to adopt each other's habits, but like, it's good to see, I think.
I have a couple of people that after I lead, I try to find them and I say, thank you for leading worship today. Mm-hmm. And they look at me and it's like, but you did. I said, no. You led me, because when I'm up there, and probably we all have that. There's, especially down when I was preaching, there's certain people that you find and you connect and you're like, we're connecting. That's an encouragement. And then the others you like, and it's like, I got to skip over those three people, but I'm back over this person. And how much there's individuality and corporate in that, that it's not just us up there, that there are leaders out there leading us to lead what God has led, you know. There's just like so much stuff. It's so cool. So
all the red strings and the
yes, yeah.
The crazy person bulletin board just came out there.
All right.
Good.
And now Beck with some final closing thoughts.
Yeah, for real, Beck. What do you think?
Say something
profound.
It doesn't have to be profound, just from the tech side.
My perspective on that last thing that you were talking about, how there's people leading you as you're leading from the stage, that is every week in the tech booth. I am never leading on stage. I am calling the shots and I'm pacing the tech booth to see what's going to blow up. But I am consistently looking out into the audience, the congregation. And I do that. I pinpoint certain people. I know the woman you're talking about. You find certain people and you're like, wow, I have never seen someone worship like that. And it's inspiring. Like it is so cool. I said this off mic last time that we did a podcast as well, of one of my favorite things is standing in the booth and being able to make out team members' voices in the audience.
Yeah.
Like I hear Larissa every single Sunday, every single Sunday, because she sits on the tech booth side and she is worshiping wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. even though she's not on the stage. So that's, I pay a lot of attention to that. It's like, it's not just people on stage leading. It makes so much of a difference to have everyone else in the room. Like that's because worship is, there's private worship and there's corporate worship, but focusing on corporate worship, that doesn't exist without the people in the congregation. So I pay a lot of attention to that.
There was a Sunday where I was sitting next to Stephanie and behind Dan. Like it was like Dan right here and Stephanie right here. And we like got going in worship and it was like good. And I could like hear Dan and Stephanie was like the high harmony. And I was like, I'll take the middle. And we were like in our own thing. And after that thing, after that whole worship set, Dan turned around and he was like, worship was so good. Yeah. I love having you behind me. I Dan felt like, you know,
every Sunday.
It's so good. You can pinpoint people. You're like, I know exactly where LaDonna is.
Yep.
There she is. Like, you know, like I know where Larissa is.
I even feel that way during rehearsals. Like
last
night, it's just me and Jerry in the middle of the room and we're like going hard. Like it's, you know, you're still trying to figure out issues and there's no one else there, but it's a corporate worship experience.
I'll tell like one more like personal worship story about the tech booth in particular that I just think is fun. So right now our broadcast console, which we have like, there's your regular sound console and then there's your broadcast. Your broadcast is what gets recorded. The people who mix broadcast have noise canceling headphones on.
Very noise canceling.
And they are in it. And that sound that's coming from broadcast is delayed. Like it's like 250 milliseconds. It's a lot. It's a huge delay from what you guys are hearing in the room. And it has to be like that because it syncs up with our camera. And so Abby, who is a great broadcast mixer and also on the worship team, she is, one day I'm mixing sound and she's mixing broadcast next to me and she's got her noise canceling headphones on and the girl is worshiping. Like she is worshiping 250 milliseconds late. Like it is like, it was crazy. Like, but I loved it because I was like, you are in your element. You've got your mix set and now you're worshiping.
Yeah.
And like, we see that across the tech booth. Mm-hmm. Like Stan is like running lights, worshiping. Like, you know, Jesse last night was running pro and worshiping.
Sometimes when I'm running sound during worship, I have to remind myself that I am running sound because I get really into the worship and I start singing along and then I'm like, wait, who's singing next? Like I have to prepare that.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Until next time, I leave you with the words of Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.